In my hands, Darren Newsom, I've got hot viewer comments that came. So on our Facebook page, you familiar with the Book of Faces?
I am not familiar with the Book of Faces,
You're a Twitter guy.
Yes.
So you see comments that come in. Today we're going to discuss on the MTM podcast weather and comments about the weather. So we post all sorts of things on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. On Facebook, occasionally I'll post a photo of something and ask for people to comment. And, you know, we all love certain times are better than others. Well, I put a picture a couple of weeks ago of a planter rolling in the field in central Iowa. And I said, anybody else like this? And all of a sudden, within an hour, I had 20 comments. And then I did the same thing a week later. And again, 25 comments. Mm-hmm. But Darren, these are saying some very interesting things. Do you want to pose a guess on what people were saying about the weather when I would post a planter picture saying, hey, you going?
Yeah, my guess would be that, you know, some of the questions would be, what year did you pull that from? you know, there's no way that is in our area because we're under 6 feet of water, or, you know, it's going to be 8 weeks before we can ever, you know, turn a wheel in the field. So I'm going to guess it was along those lines were the comments that you might be getting.
Pretty close, pretty close. When someone, I think you and I have discussed this before, people always see just to the edge a lot of times where their fence row is and not the neighbor, because the neighbor got all the rain and I didn't, or I've gotten all the rain and the neighbor did, whatever it is that's opposite. We sometimes only see, what, 40 acres at a time?
Right. And there's a bigger world out there, and that's what's so hard at times like this, because you look out, you see your fields are flooded, you see that, you know, it's going to be, again, weeks before you ever get out, and you know, you get out and start planting, you feel like everything's running behind, you know the clock's ticking, and before long, your corn's going to be trying to mature during the heat of July, if we ever see any heat of July, and all these things. But, you know, then you take a step back and you look at the big picture, and the market isn't reacting. And someone, you know, everybody, majority of people have to just sit and shake their head and go, why? You know,
yeah.
What's going on here?
So, why? What's going on here?
Rule number five. Rule number five. I believe it's rule number five. It's not the why, but the what.
Okay.
We'll never know why the market isn't reacting, but we can tell at this point that they have factored it in. You know, we have, right now the focus is on these huge stocks of old crop that we supposedly have. You know, if we go back to the March 29th quarterly stocks, I believe we had a panel discussion on that. And we see that USDA in its corn numbers had something like 8.6 billion bushels. I don't remember what soybeans were, but it was huge. And we had all those on hand, and we were going to have extraordinary demand over the second half of the market year to get rid of it, and we haven't had that. And so now we're coming up on the end of the – or getting closer towards the end of the marketing year, and we know whatever we have left over is going to become beginning stock. So we have a large buffer, or at least, you know, one side of the market, the fund side, non-commercial investment, whatever you want to call it, realizes that we've got this buffer coming in, and that is why they are not afraid to hold that large net short position, and they're not just scrambling to cover every time there's a weather forecast of rain. So the what is, they're not afraid. I mean, they're going to hold, and they continue to hold their short position. Will it change? Certainly. We're starting to see some movement in the new crop East to March corn spread, indicating the commercial side starting to at least pay attention, starting to at least take note of something. Maybe it's the weather, maybe it's the phase of the moon, maybe it's anything. But it's all calculated in, and it's reflected in the price. It's reflected in the price when we're talking about funds. It's reflected in the spreads when we're talking about those who are actually looking at the supply and demand situation. So though it hasn't been all fireworks and limit up days, we are starting to see a little bit of interest being paid, a little bit of concern being shown for the weather. You know, just one cog in the larger, you know, piece of the puzzle. That's a terrible – it's just one piece of the puzzle in a larger set of what everyone in the market's looking at right now.
I was talking to Peter Tubbs, another producer on the show, and I was telling him what we were going to do. And I said, I go, well, corn is put on at the time, end of April into the beginning of May, has put on just a tiny bit of a rally mm-hmm. in the sense of at least it finished green for a couple of days in mm-hmm. a row. Is it only at that time, the reason I say those specific days, what is really different between April 30 and March and May 1st?
There isn't anything.
But why is it that so many times we hear?
It's just because we've turned that calendar page. You know, we have gotten to the point where we push things so fast that by the time we get to May, you know, folks want to almost be done planting, it seems like. You know, some folks, you know, we've heard over the years start in March. You know, if the weather's conducive, they'll start in March. And so by the time they get to April, they want to be done planting because they want to avoid that summer heat. So, you know, this year it just didn't work out that way. There's been other years where we haven't been able to do that either. So right now we're sitting here, you know, stuck in the mud, both figuratively and, you know, and we aren't going anywhere. But we will. I mean, the weather, theoretically, we would think that the weather is going to straighten out. And if not, it's certainly going to lead to a much more interesting summer and fall in the markets.
Elaine Cobb said about a month ago, she said, all we need is just a few days mm-hmm. window and boom, everything's going to get planted. Delaney said it last week in setting up a question. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, people come out and say, how dare you say such a thing? Because my operation, I didn't get any fall mm-hmm. work done. It's not been conducive for anything in the spring. I am not going to be able to get everything done in 7 to 15 days like you're saying, so magically everything can get done.
You know, it's hard to generalize everything. But if we look at the situation, generally speaking, we can see a lot of work done in a very short period of time. Sun comes out for 3 hours. And then, okay, that's an exaggeration.
You're not that far off.
But the sun comes out for a few hours, and all of a sudden, everybody's running. You know, we'll see if it happens. I mean, yes, we are dealing with a different situation this time. We had a wet fall that led into an extremely wet winter. In some places, record snow and snowfall and melt and all of that. And now we've got a very wet spring. So it is a different situation. You can't just use anything as an analogous year because all these things can be different. We can't just say, well, because, you know, we were able to get a gazillion acres planted over the course of 3 days back in 2014 or whatever it was. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the case this year because of everything you said. We did have a wet, you know, we've been wet since last fall. But I also know that we're going to get something planted. You know, how many acres? I have no idea, which makes Monday afternoon's reports that much more ludicrous to me that people care or talk about or anything when we have no idea what's eventually even going to be planted because of the weather.
All right. So I've got someone from central Nebraska, southeast South Dakota, eastern North Dakota. Oh, it's all wet. Haven't been able to turn a wheel. Very cold and wet in Wisconsin. So, I mean, in just four comments, mm-hmm. I've got four states checking in. At what point did comments like this matter?
You know, I don't think you have to go back too far. Probably, you know, I'm going to say within the last 5 years. And, you know, this comes back to what I like to call the evolution of Watson or the evolution of computerized trade. You know, it gets smarter all the time. It used to track all of these comments and look at them as a whole, and it would get its attention. We would see trade react not just to weather forecasts, but to the after effects. And I don't know that individual comments ever had that much play in the market, but taken as a whole, you know, again, you're talking about going from central Nebraska clear over to Wisconsin, all the way up to South Dakota and so on. And, you know, so you're talking about a very wide area. So things like that used to get the market's attention, but it doesn't anymore. The algorithms are changing, they're evolving, and they're looking at different things. And it just doesn't have the impact, if it ever did, it just doesn't have the same as it once did.
All right, so Tom says in Pennsylvania it's rolling, but we don't count. Is he right?
Well,
Nothing, and I don't know.
Nothing against Tom. And I was up in Pennsylvania this winter. It's great, folks. Really enjoyed my time there. But no, I mean, it's the three I states: Nebraska and Minnesota. I guess you could throw Wisconsin in there too. But if you live outside that area, then market's just not going to pay a great deal of attention. I mean, we could, you know, how many times have we seen in the past where Kansas's corn crop's dying because it's so, I mean, it's like 120 degrees in the shade and there hasn't been any rain for 6 months. And all of a sudden the Kansas corn crop, I might have said wheat, but the Kansas corn crop's dying. Market doesn't care. It's Kansas corn. Now show me that across the heart of the U.S. Midwest, heart of the Corn Belt, and back in the day, you'd get a different reaction.
All right. So Jay in North Central Iowa, a friend of mine, says, going to be another record crop in 19. The weather in downtown Chicago is perfect for growing crops.
Makes no difference. That is an old saying. There's nobody trading in Chicago anymore. They're all over the world. I mean, we've got, it's not just one weatherman in Chicago with his noonday.
Yeah, what's the guy who used to be on WGN? Tom Skilling?
Tom Skilling. Yeah. You know, it's not just his forecast that sets the market ablaze these days. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of weather services out there. And, you know, gone are the days where, you know, you could say, well, you know, the traders are just looking out the window and gauging by what's going on in the weather in Chicago, because there are no traders anymore.
Computers can't hear the rain.
Computers can't hear the rain. All they know is if you stick them out in the rain like the Tin Man, they're going to rust. And that's not a good situation. So I don't put any stock in that at all anymore.
All right. So I've got other comments. You know, there's enough people that chime in and say, I got a little bit of nitrogen down. I've got a little bit of this. I got a little bit of that. I mean, that's really all I'm ever looking for. You know, it's just a – do you ever read into that as someone who's not a trader, not a computer, not in Chicago, not just looking at opportunities for anecdotes? If you see it enough of the area, yes, I can read a map like anybody else can to see a rainstorm come from Lincoln, Nebraska to Madison, Wisconsin, that goes to Minneapolis down to St. Louis and go, 4 inches of rain in the middle of June, probably not the best. Maybe I should buy. How quick is my window? How small is my window before I can see something? I'm not saying outsmart the market, but see and take an opportunity to make some money. Did it already close in the time it took for you to answer the question?
No, probably, because I hemmed and hawed there for a minute. It's a narrow window because the information is flowing into and into these computers so quickly. But I would suggest the best way to take advantage of this sort of thing is to not even look out the window. Look at your quote screen.
Okay.
Tell me what the spreads are doing. You know, here in the DSmarts corn spread, we've seen a couple cents trimmed off the carry over the last couple weeks. That, to me, is more important than what you see out the window or weather forecast, whatever the case may be, because these are people who are actually able to move the market for whatever reason. Again, the what, not the why. So if you want to be able to take advantage of a market, look at that. Look at the spreads. Don't pay attention to what's going on out the window, because it clouds our opinion of what we think should be happening, and the market does not care what we think should be happening.
Could you say it's the same argument of maybe hand off the marketing of the grain away from the person that does the planting and the harvesting because of the emotion saying, I know this is worth $350. Do not sell it until it gets to $350.
I'm not going to when I answer this, do not take this as me specifically pigeonholing, you know, gender-specific jobs on a farm in this answer, because I know a lot of the wives are fantastic farmers. Some of the women out there farm for themselves. You know, they don't have to have, you know, there's no one else around. But what I found over the years, if you did remove the person from the equation who was out with the crop every day, and you went to their significant other, their spouse, their partner, whatever it might be, and you talked to them about marketing, they had a much more objective view of it. And it's just natural because, it just, as you point out, the person who's out working in it every day, they start to see it a certain way. They say, well, my crop is struggling, or my crop, I'm not going to tell anybody this, but it looks like a record crop. you know, and so then they're going to change their marketing plan accordingly. Rather than looking at what the market's telling us, taking what the market is saying, this is what should be done, and just going with it and working with it and going on from there.
Okay, that's a very realistic thing. Sometimes you don't have that option,
right?
Because you don't have that other person. You already kind of answered the other question I kind of wanted to end with. Of, you know, what are some signals to look at? You talk about some spreads, and you're looking at some technical things, and you're looking at some historical things. But haven't sometimes the historical things in the last couple of years, and some of the same window where the weather doesn't matter as much, some of those technical indicators that used to matter don't?
Yes. In fact, I've thrown out probably 90% of any technical indicator that's been used in the past. There aren't very many that work anymore because algos really don't care. The algorithms don't care about technical patterns. That's just for the amusement of technical analysts like myself. But I do still think that everything is trend-based. And so what we have to do is figure out the trend. And it can be, you know, people use all kinds of ways of figuring out the trend. But if I'm expecting some sort of fundamental shift in the market, you know, we can say that it starts with basis, but basis can be skewed, like this situation that we're looking at in old crop corn, where everybody's holding tight to their cash corn. Basis is going up, even though theoretically we've got all this corn sitting out there, and it's probably going to crush basis at some point. I always argue to look at the spreads. That'll be your first indication that there's really a fundamental change going on. Look at the spreads and look at the seasonality of, you know, cash, commodity, whatever you're looking for, you know, be it cash wheat, cash corn, cash soybeans, whatever. Look at how the cash market is reacting to its seasonal patterns, because if there's a big divergence, that means there's something fundamentally different this year. You can also do that in new crop futures. If you see a big divergence from what new crop futures tend to do, then there's something fundamentally different. We can tell what, and that's just there's a big difference, bullish or bearish. We don't know why. And that's important. So look at the seasonality, look at the spreads.
So I think the next time you're on the Market to Market show, I'm going to make sure Delaney asks you why every single time.
That would be just fine, because I can have fun with that. I can have a lot of fun with that.
Algorithms. Okay, yeah. I want to get your take on that for just a minute. How many algorithms do you, DarrenNewsom.com, use that you've created?
Well, this was kind of always a touchy point in my previous life, and even now, everybody wants to, you know, the folks wanted to make an algorithm of how I look at the market. The only one that I have, and it's very scary, it's in my head. It's kind of like the Supreme Court's definition of pornography.
Sure, you'll know it when you see it.
Yeah, I know it when I see it. I know what I'm looking for when I see it, but I can't really explain it, and I can't. My son Ben, well, you've talked to him before. Mm-hmm. He's determined and he's confident that he can build an algorithm around my thoughts. And given enough time, I'm sure he's going to try to do it. That'll be fun. And if it works, then I can say that that I use one algorithm. It'd be the one that was based on, you know, how I see things and kind of the feel that you get for things after 30-some years of watching the way things move, watch how things evolve. As I said, the patterns aren't the same. Seasonality's not the same. But if you adjust for that and you take into account the characteristic changes, then you can still see things usually when they're happening.
When you hear someone say, well, my algorithm, that's factored into my algorithm. I've put this into there. And it's not having any reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Do you roll your eyes or do you go,
Well, you can't really roll your eyes these days. I mean, back in the day, yeah, you could. But people do have just about anything you can imagine built into the algorithm. And, you know, when I say phases of the moon and this sort of thing, there are algorithms that at one time were based on that sort of thing. And this was back in the early days of fund trading. So, you know, if someone says, yeah, it's built in, it's just a small part, it's like 1/100th of the equation, okay, you know, it probably is. there was a time when I would roll my eyes at that. Of course, you know me well. I roll my eyes at a lot of things. It's gotten me kicked off other programs before for doing that. But you can't really do that anymore because people do. I mean, these program writers. These I can't remember the Ben's going to get after me for the coders. They can build just about anything they want into algorithms so that they react to certain things. So anything is possible these days.
Well, in politics and covering elections, they look at bellwether counties. Mm-hmm. What is it doing in Grundy County, Iowa? Yeah. What is it doing in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania? Mm-hmm. What does it do? You know, name the county in the spot or the district or the race, and they can they have a sense. And that mm-hmm. changed, though.
It did. 2016 changed everything.
It did. And it was even changing a little bit before. And
it was.
So it's trying to make sense of all of those changes, though. We don't always know when something historic is happening. We kind of have a sense of, oh, it's historic flooding. Okay, I get that. Mm-hmm. But how do we know we're in the middle of, you know, that is the day it changed?
We don't. We can go back with hindsight and say, okay, if we're going to backtest all these things that we're doing, you know, it's like I just lost his name who really started putting together chaos theory with the Lorenz, the meteorologist who came up with the Lorenz butterfly as a symbol for the chaos theory. It happened because in one of his computer runs for a particular weather pattern, there was something that happened. There was a glitch, and it sent everything spiraling in a different direction. But he didn't realize that until you go back and backtest, until you go back and look for it. And that's where the whole chaos theory comes from, is one small change at a critical point in time changes the outcome. And so I think what we're seeing right now is chaos theory really playing out, not only with algorithms, but things like polling, anything really based on computers at this point, because of if there is one small change, it changes the outcome. And it's hard to account for that. It's impossible to account for that at that point and to build a program around it.
Okay. So how do you then know, if we don't know in the middle, mm-hmm. at what point do we know 4 inches of rain in Bell County doesn't matter? Mm-hmm. When did we know that the old thinking doesn't work?
I guess it has to be proven. I guess it has to be proven over time that it doesn't work. And then it has to be proven and then reproven, you know. So I look at markets, and I see right now we've got both sides in old crop corn bearish. New crop starting to change. And if we see this divergence, then we're going to go back and say, okay, what started this divergence? Was it the flooding along the Mississippi? Was it, you know, that freak snowstorm in late April that just buried the upper Midwest and led to all this extra moisture that we're going to have to deal with? Is it like 93? No, you can't use 93 as an analogy. I've talked to some weathermen already. 93 is not an analogous year because we didn't have the same setup. There are similarities, but there's always similarities. But again, it goes back to chaos theory and that there is going to be one thing that's different. And that one thing can make all the difference in the world when we get to the end game. But how do we know which particular event it was? Basically, the only way is by looking backward instead of forward at that point.
Well, okay. So you bring up a point of how often do you go back and self-study? Look at your commentary about a certain thing, the way you knew. Virgil Robinson always used mm-hmm. to say, as we sit here tonight, mm-hmm. this is what I know to be true. Do you ever go back a month, 6 months, 6 years and say, this is what I said now or at that point? But does that translate to now?
Oh, I have farmers that do it for me. Do you remember when you said this, which is why it's interesting that when some people call for $8 corn, that doesn't ever really seem to register or be brought back up. But if I were to go out, and I have, and say, you know, corn should be, you know, corn could be in an LDP situation. I think I said this like 5 or 6 years ago. Folks remember that, and they bring it up to me. Now, if something really happens on my charts to where all of a sudden, you know, an inexplicable trend change occurs. And again, I don't know why, but I will go back and I'll start looking at the things I'm looking at. Okay, what was spreads doing? What was basis doing? You know, what was some of the setup that was going on? What changed at that particular time to lead to a divergence from what I was seeing versus what or what I was expecting to happen and what actually happened. So, yes, I will go back. Usually, going back doesn't help you all that much. You always have to be looking forward. What was it? Walt Disney said, keep moving forward or something along that line. You always have to be looking forward and you can't worry about it. What I've written, what I've said, yeah, I stand by it. And if I called for $2 corn or like last summer when I said cash soybeans should be $6, I'm sure that'll be brought up to me again this summer when I'm addressing the same group. But, you know, at the time, that's what everything showed me. And markets change. Can we go back and find the exact factor that changed things? Sometimes, most often, you can't.
But we'll keep trying to and keep having discussions about it. As people tell us that there's few guys running in the Mauston area or a lot of nitrogen in southern Minnesota. It's always interesting to see what impacts there to everybody else.
Right.
All right, Darren Newsom, thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul.
Find us on Twitter at Market to Market and on Facebook and Instagram at IPTV Market. We love to hear from you. We also love it when you share an episode with a friend. And, oh, by the way, we have something pretty cool coming your way soon. Keep a listen here. Thanks for listening.